Sunday the 14th of April 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, From Death to Life. Sermon title, Palm Sunday. Bible reading, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter, beginning to read at the 28th verse. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that you will speak into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that our Bible reading emphasises in numerous ways is that Jesus is not a warring rival king to Pontius Pilate or the Roman Emperor. For example, at the beginning of our reading, Luke records that Jesus began the triumphal entry in the humble little village of Bethany, where he sends his disciples to go ahead of him to find a colt tethered and say, "If anyone asks, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Jesus is not a rival political king. In fact, Luke stresses that the donkey that Jesus rode was one on which no one had ever ridden. Jesus rode into Jerusalem not to conquer politically, but rather to die and be buried. The crowds called out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus' entry is ultimately associated with peace and glory in heaven, not warfare on earth. At Jesus' birth, the angels proclaimed that Jesus would bring peace to the earth. Now, at the beginning of Holy Week, we see that Jesus does this not as a rival king, but brings spiritual peace to earth by being our wonderful Saviour who will peacefully pave the way for our human flesh to ascend to heaven. All in all, Palm Sunday is a very important time for the church. It's when Jesus' disciples hailed him as king, and it's a chance for us as his disciples to acclaim him as our king. But there is a danger in the way we worship on Palm Sunday, that we may forget why Jesus came to Jerusalem to begin with. And as a result, we will forget why we sing praises to our King. Often when we sing praises on Palm Sunday, we jump to next Sunday and sing Christ the Lord has risen today. The events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday are not on our personal religious calendars. Oh, Jesus' death is mentioned. It's not that we completely ignore it. We just want to move past that fact as quickly as we can to get to the resurrection. The problem is we don't like to dwell on unpleasant things. Sometimes we don't even admit to ourselves that unpleasant things exist. We don't want to admit the pain and the unpleasantness of life. We would rather close our eyes to it in the way we do in a scary movie. We allow ourselves to think that people do awful things to others, but we don't allow ourselves to think that it's anything to do with us, or it's not our problem. As a result, we often overlook those who are suffering and in pain, the ones God is calling us to help, the lost, the hungry, and the sick. There is something to be said for only thinking nice things and eliminating things we find difficult. But we cannot and must not forget what Jesus has done for us. He paid the ultimate price so that we may live life and live it to the full. That same kind of thinking of not wanting to know about the bad stuff creeps into our minds for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, because we don't want to be reminded about the pain that Jesus suffered for us. So many in our world today, and especially those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, want to skip the difficult bits and move straight onto the celebrations, like today and then Easter Day. But so much happened in between that we cannot ignore it, because as Christians we cannot celebrate Easter Day if we have not first lived through the torment of Good Friday. We cannot pick the bits we want to be involved in. It's important that we engage in the whole of the Easter story to enable us to fully understand the sacrifice Jesus made. Because of this tendency to overlook the bad bits of Easter, we sometimes overlook Jesus' suffering and death. We get caught up in the joy of singing praises to Jesus as he triumphantly enters Jerusalem, and we forget that Jesus came to Jerusalem to die. So when we get to Holy Week, we put our hands over our eyes and say to the person next door, "Tell me when it's over." It may be unpleasant to think about, but Jesus did die. People drove nails through his wrists and feet. They nailed him to a cross. Jesus experienced terror and pain. And more importantly, he experienced that pain as an atonement for yours and my sins and for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' death is a fact of our salvation that we must never overlook. So how can we joyfully sing hosannas and praises to our King in the face of his suffering? The people in our story seem to have been grossly ignorant of the facts. If they had known, as we do, why Jesus had come to Jerusalem, they would not be singing a song of triumph. You see, they thought Jesus would come in and take over the state. Right before this, Jesus had to correct his disciples for thinking that his kingdom would appear immediately. And in Luke 19:11-27, Jesus tells them a parable about a king who was going away, and he gave 10 minas to each of them to use wisely until his return. We too have been given excellent resources to build and expand God's kingdom. And when he returns, he will ask us to give an account of what we have done with his gifts. This parable shows us that Jesus' reign on earth was not going to be immediate. He was going away, but he would return. And whilst he is away, we have to grow his kingdom in his absence. The prophet said that the Messiah would be riding on a donkey. So when the people saw Jesus on that donkey, they thought he was coming to lead an uprising. They thought he would ride right up to Herod's palace and sit on his throne. Then he would order the Romans out of his newly established kingdom. The crowd was partially right. Jesus was and is the Messiah. But they expected a Messiah who would rule an earthly kingdom. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem to sit on a throne. Jesus came to Jerusalem to hang on a cross. He said to his disciples several times that he would not always be with them, and that the Son of Man must suffer and die. How can we see ourselves shouting with those people? How can we joyfully sing their song, especially as we know Jesus' destiny is to suffer on a cross in order to bring about our salvation, because it was only his suffering that saved us? So what are we to do? Should we overlook Christ's death and forget Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, wiping it off our religious calendars? Is it possible for us to forget why Jesus came to Jerusalem and just blend in with the crowd of misled pilgrims, blindly shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord"? How is it possible for us to sing hosannas on Palm Sunday when we know that Christ's passion is just down the road? Perhaps a clue to this answer is in, of all places, the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. Near the beginning of the opera, Jesus is riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. The people are singing hosannas, and they are saying, "Hey, JC, JC, won't you fight for me?" Then the Pharisees tell Jesus to make the people stop. But he tells them that if they were silent, the stones themselves would sing. When the crowd starts singing hosannas again, they are now singing, "Hey, JC, JC, won't you die for me?" Maybe we should celebrate the fact that Jesus came to Jerusalem to die. That is precisely what the Bible tells us to do. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:8-11, "Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, Jesus is worthy of praise precisely because he went to Jerusalem to die. Today is not just about Palm Sunday, but more importantly, it's an approach to all of life. Jesus' suffering was necessary to win our salvation. Once we open our eyes to the suffering of Christ, we see him as Lord more clearly than before. Every knee shall bow and shall shout, Hosanna, because he died. In Christ, we can look at suffering and see something beautiful. So look at the suffering around you. Open your eyes to it, as unpleasant as that may be. Then hand it over to God. And in God, in Christ, we'll turn that sorrow into shouts of joy. And this morning, we're really lucky because we have five people who were there and they witnessed it. I'm going to ask them to come and tell us their story of what happened.
I had every intention of seeing Jesus that day, but I wasn't looking for a donkey. There's no shame in shouting Hosanna, but tell me, is a colt rider capable of saving anything? Let me back up a little bit. Under normal circumstances, I might have been a follower if there'd been less, you know, turn the other cheek nonsense and more brawn. You know, less touchy-feely and more fight, if you know what I mean. What's wrong with a bit of redemptive violence when it is justified? I never understood him praising the woman who anointed his feet, equating love with a father who hugs a prodigal. Identifying God as a mother hen, shameful. Why had there been so little mention of glory, triumph, or victory?
I saw Jesus that day. The nerve of a Galilean! I could hardly spit out the word. A Nazarene, no less. To ride on a donkey, under the auspices of peace, only to stir up conflict, unequivocal provocation. Why incite the masses with false ideological arguments that serve only to create controversy? Accusing the money changers of injustice, assuming authority above our leadership, avoiding questions of substance, accusing us of shamefully accepting honour at the expenses of the poor. Does he know with whom he is speaking? Does he have any idea by what authority we act? Does he know we're on the side of God? High time to end this disturbance and silence the rebel once and for all.
What a party. The weather, the atmosphere, great community spirit. Who doesn't love a parade? Any excitement? And the pandemonium. Woodstock all over again. It's like one of those great historic moments. Not that I expected to meet him. 100,000 million people was there. What's the chances that I would see this superstar? But you know what? The thought had crossed my mind. Imagine I could tell my grandchildren I was there. I saw him. Yes, indeed, I did. As he walked through the crowd, he came close to me. I tried to reach out and touch him. It was embarrassing, if you know what I mean. But you know what? There was something about this guy. It's like I had a sort of infatuation about him. It's like I actually loved him in a strange sort of a way. I felt myself turning and saying, "Hey, Jesus, can I have your autograph?"
I'd no problem lending him my donkey. I was curious, so walked from the back row and took a few notes. Overall, I have to say, street theatre was pretty impressive, well orchestrated, well choreographed, exceptional crowd control, given it was Passover and standing room only, and the branches, wow, they raised the crowd.
I went to the parade, empty-handed, not able to afford the concessional price of a palm. Two branches for a shekel. I only had two coppers, and they were for the treasury. I don't necessarily care for all this pomp and ceremony anyway, never have. What did we used to call it? Oh, yeah, splash and dash. Get emotionally high, then disappear. No, I was interested in him. I'd heard him speak before, you know, of mustard seeds and pearls and lost coins and hidden treasures. He speaks in parables. Gets you thinking, though. Today I hope to hear a parable again, but he didn't speak today in words. His actions were a parable. Oh, I'm old enough to know that actions speak louder than words anyway, and that's why I followed him and stayed with him. Even after the crowd had gone, I was the only one. Perhaps those who look for horses can't see donkeys. Those who have power can't see his authority. Those who love the crowd's energy can't see what all the fuss is about. Those who watch from a distance never really get involved. I don't know. That day, I was the only one. And I saw him weep on hilltop, overlooking the city, weeping. Praying for us, I guess. Praying for us, the political observer, the superficial lover, the power broker, and the unbeliever. Praying for us, because we have such a hard time seeing. That night, I prayed for him. And I left my two coins, all that I had. Trusting actions are louder than words. Trusting in time, there will be more. Enough after the tears of God been shed. Yeah, I'm old enough to know that God is found in strange places, even on a donkey.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Palm Sunday. But Father, we also pray that you would not let us forget Maundy, Thursday and Good Friday. Because before we can celebrate Easter Day, we must share in Christ's suffering. So Father, come now by the power of your Holy Spirit and continue to guide us, to lead us, and to grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.